The Koi Gig Pod.
The thing that was very upsetting from that game was Katie McCabe's untucked shirt. What was that about?
Somebody called the police.
We've hit the hard topics on this podcast.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to episode 22 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, interviews, tips, stories, and the crack as well. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And for members this week, we will preview the Scottish Champion Hurdle at Ayr and the big races at the Curragh this weekend. So subscribe now for all the juicy info. Johnny Ward, how are you today?
I'm good, JD. I'm apologies that I'm on Zoom. I'm off to Ballinrobe later. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting as well. The return of Ballinrobe racing is going to be quite testing ground, but nice racing there tonight. So, yeah, all good.
I've never been to Ballinrobe. What is it like?
It is a fine, fine racetrack. And I might be slightly biased, but I think the Connacht racetracks, to a man and woman, and the four of them all do a terrific job. Sligo is very lively. Roscommon caters for a good class of horse, I think, at times, particularly on the flat, the Linaban Stakes and all that. Galway needs no introduction. But Ballinrobe might be better run than any racetrack, practically, really. It's just they're always modernizing there. John Flanley does a great job. The quality of horse has gone up a lot. They've gotten good purses now for some of the Connacht National and the good kind of hurdle races as well. And it's arguable that you'll see horses jump in the Connacht National with more kind of demand on their jumping than you would see in the so-called Aintree Spectacular.
26 race courses in Ireland. I've been to 14, Johnny, so I've 12 to go.
Yeah, I've been to them all. I was never in Tralee, so that probably isn't going to happen now, but I've been to them all. Tuam used to have a race course as well. I think they used to run one of the Galway days at Tuam, which must have been a lot of fun. And I was in Dingle last weekend, JD, hence I missed the show. And from my window, I was able to look at the course for the Dingle Derby. So I think that's coming up in August. So that could be one for you and I in the bucket list. What's wrong with spending a couple of days in Dingle in August and backing some horses?
Johnny, this is just a beautiful thing. Mm. And was it Omi Island that does races as well? In Galway there, or in Connemara?
Yeah, I think you're right there. And obviously you have a lot of the pony racing. The pony racing has kind of been under a little bit of jeopardy in recent years, but it's still such a stable for kind of the young jockeys coming up and all of that. And it's probably a bit old school as well in terms of, you know, there's no betting exchange. So when you go there and you have a bet, that's the only place to have a bit like a point to point. But Dingle is definitely something I think we should look into, and maybe put up a bit of stuff on socials as it all unravels, JD.
I am Maximus, Johnny, the Grand National winner at Ferry House last year and at Aintree this year. Discuss.
Very strange horse. I go back to when he made his debut for Willie Mullins. He was running against, was it Manila Crooner of Gordon Elliott's, and I thought Manila Crooner was like 2-1. I thought he was a great bet, and he was very lucky to win because I Am Maximus was violently out to his left at times. And then when I Am Maximus rocked up at Leopardstown subsequently, I couldn't see him being beaten, and he ran into Gentleman's Game, who beat him very well. But he's a strange horse because even though he's out to his left the way he jumps, his best form for some bizarre reason was at a right-handed track. And I couldn't give him a prayer in the National at Ferry House last season. And it's probably one of Paul Townend's best rides to get him up. But in hindsight, maybe with the way that the Grand National is now, you know, you could have fancied him, I suppose, for the National. He's just, but even Patrick Mullins didn't fancy him. But I suppose there were enough signs there that he might run a good race. And I was at Willie Mullins during the week for a Punchestown launch, JD, and it sounded like he fancied him out of the way for the race, to be honest, albeit in hindsight.
Well done to Willie, to Paul Townend. They're the king and the prince of the jumps game at the moment. Back-to-back Gold Cups with Galopin des Champs now, the Aintree Grand National. Only Willie second behind Hedgehunter in 2005, and the first for him then in 19 years, and Paul Townend's first. So the 7-1 favourite, Maximus stormed home. He's a real stayer, a bit like he did in winning the Irish National at Ferry House. 7.5 length win over Delta Work. Minella Indo and Galvin. Touch of the cross-country battle, though, for me, Johnny. 21 finishes out of 32 starters. Well done to everyone concerned. But this is in no way to carp about the substantial achievements of the Irish trained horses, Willie Mullins at the Grand National and everything else. But it's completely sanitised now, the Grand National. It's not steeplechasing. It's a glorified four-mile hurdle for me. Perhaps steeplechasing can't exist in modern society now with outrage turned to 11 every day. But it's not the same race. It'll never be the same race again. My childhood was spent every April racked with nerves about the Grand National, watching the race, hoping my horse would get round safe, first of all. Then he would have a chance, or she, observing the majesty of the way the horses jumped the fences. And I remember the thrill of it. And I don't feel that 20 years ago when Amberley House and Graham Lee won the race in a brilliant finish, beating Clan Royale and Lord Atterbury, and Hedge Hunter fell, that the world ended. Hedge Hunter came back the next year and won. And maybe racing, we have to accept, is something that does have an element of risk. We either accept that and defend the culture of care, or we phase out the jumps, because it was a boring national for me, Johnny.
Couldn't agree more. British racing has been absolutely destroyed by insecurity for the last, I don't know, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years. And as much as I'm not particularly happy that the fatality level in the Grand National was quite high. And I think a race that is producing horses essentially dying in it with regularity does need to be changed to an extent. But this race I run on Saturday was more like the American Grand National than the old Grand National. It's basically a glorified hurdle race. Very, very easy fences to jump. And the headline then on the Racing Post on Monday, where there were no fallers and the authorities were sort of portraying this as like some sort of achievement. I mean, if you have 34 horses, again, that used to be 40, but you can't run 40 horses seemingly in the race anymore, so they cut it down to 34. And if you've 34 horses going over 4.5 miles over what used to be the strongest jumping test on these islands, and none of them falls, that's not something to be crowing about. There's something wrong there, because that means that the fences, that I could get over them, basically. And it's not like the race of old at all. They kept tinkering with it, I didn't find it a particularly illuminating spectacle, to be honest. And maybe you could be like, oh, we're half the field not in contention, jump with the second last. Well, they kind of were, but that's not what the National is supposed to be. The National is supposed to be utterly organized chaos, where you don't know what's going on. You don't know if your horse is still in it. You're looking at the caps. You're looking at where the favourite is. You're looking at what's pulled up. You're looking at what went at the last fence. Now you're looking at everything in contention, and a horse who basically is a dodgy jumper win it. Tiger Roll wouldn't have been mapped in this race years ago. And he and I Am Maximus, both of whom are by authorised, are basically benefiting from the way the race has been turned into a glorified hurdle race. And I'm not in any way saying I'd still love to have a winner of the race. And maybe it's a nice spectacle for the once-a-year punters to watch, but British racing, you know, has basically become a parody of itself in terms of thinking that this was a magnificent renewal of the race, because it certainly wasn't.
Absolutely not. I Maximus made mistakes at the chair and at Beecher's that he would not have survived 20 years ago or 30 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. And that's, he's a worthy winner of the race that it is now. And William Mullins and Paul Tennant deserve every credit. I'm not in one way for a moment advocating that I want to see horses fall or get injured at the race course. I mean, I love the animal. But this is steeplechasing. It's jumps racing. The whole point about it is that you're testing a horse's jumping back to 1752 in the first steeplechase. This is not steeplechasing. This is a glorified hurdle. It's a 4 mile hurdle. It's easy fixes. It's not the Grand National that we knew. Maybe we can't have jumps racing, but it would more turn my head towards the flat now, because I don't feel the thrill that I would have felt for the race back in the day. But William Mullins going for the UK Championship, Johnny. Vincent O'Brien did it 70 years ago, and he's got 2.87 million in the kitty. Dan Skelton, 2.83 million, and Paul Nicholls, 2.75 million. It's going to come down to air at the weekend. It's going to come down to Sandown next weekend, and I'd love to see Willie do it. He's got El Fabiolo going for the Celebration Chase at Sandown. He's odds on, and hopefully he does it from an Irish perspective.
Yeah, it's a really, really fascinating end to the season. And, you know, I was racing at Naas earlier on this week, JD, and the fact that it was a dry day, it just felt like spring was finally coming here. And the National Hunt season for me has been... it's been kind of thought-provoking, but like the Pivot kind of festival, Cheltenham, for me was really a bit of a nadir for jumps racing in terms of how uncompetitive it was. And then we have a Grand National that, as much as, you know, it was kind of a... a great win for connections or whatever, I didn't feel it really reflected what the race should be. But the byproduct of all of this now is that we have a really, really outstanding narrative around the end of the season in terms of Willie Mullins attempting to win this title the year that his mother passed away, who would have been so proud of him being in the race. And also the fact that, you know, in the Irish race, Paul Townend has to claw in Jack Kennedy, who he's four behind in terms of the jockey's title.
But it's Paul three now also, after yesterday, yeah.
Three after yesterday, sorry. But Paul would also have been conscious of the fact that, you know, Willie's running good horses in Ayr and he was running sort of good horses in Cheltenham. So he had to sort of balance that in terms of, I want to win the title, but I also want to ride some good horses. And he's riding in Ayr of the weekend. But Jack Kennedy is fighting a very good fight. Paul Townend has started taking outside rides, which is very rare in itself. For me, the end of the season with regard to, I actually thought Aintree was a fantastic festival. Otherwise, the National, and it's not that the National was terrible, it's just not the race that it was. And I felt some of the races and some of the finishes at Aintree were fantastic. But we're going to have a really good punch down, I think, now. And this whole title race is just fascinating as well.
So we have the stable tour that you're at during the week. Willie Mullins said Galopin des Champs, the state man, will go to Punchestown. He spoke of Ballyburn in glowing terms, put him in the same bracket as Faheen and Vautour. Impressed by Elle Tétance before Aintree, that performance. So more to come from that horse, maybe. And Car Gazy just needs to settle that mare, that juvenile. He'll also aim Mystical Power for Punchestown, a horse that I thought on better ground will definitely win his next race. Any nuggets, Johnny? Anything that you gleaned from Close Sutton?
I suppose we take living in a wealthy country for granted. We take the fact that we're lucky to live in the first world for granted. We take lots of things for granted, and as a journalist, I take for granted my opportunity to be able to go to a yard visit like that. And it was funny because this wasn't exactly Willie Mullins' best like race planning in the world, because they had the homecoming for IM Maximus the day before, and inevitably there was a lot of a party going on. A few kind of sore heads in close. Sutton the morning after. I am Maximus, of course, as well, JD. He's by Authorised, a very flightiest offspring of Authorised, who was very, very lit up at the homecoming, and he practically had to be minded like he was kind of Secret Service or whatever. But they had a great night in the Lord Bagnall afterwards, and then the following morning, you know, you have to get up and all of the work riders are there and Patrick Mullins is there, and the party went on long into the night. But then they had to kind of go through all the horses the following morning, ride out, and in Willie's case, talk about them and keep an eye on them. But it was so illuminating, like, and how, you know, I had my brother-in-law text me, can you please get me in on one of these yard visits as a photographer the next time or something like that. And it did make me think, like, we're fortunate you've been at these yard visits as well. And it was some of the little things, like, just you know, I had a couple of mates over from Racing TV, and Willie, as we were leaving, he went all the way over to Galopin des Champs and got one of the guys to get carrots so that Galopin des Champs would come out of his stable. We took photos with Galopin des Champs. But what was really interesting for me was that he spoke about the way Elle Tétance walked around the ring at Aintree, and he was like, I just hadn't seen him walk like that before. And then sort of on the visit the other day, he took Elle Tétance around, and one of the work riders walked him around the yard, and he was trying to show us the kind of natural way he was walking and how he was kind of flexing his legs and how athletic he was. And he said, I hadn't seen that from earlier in the season. Like, really fascinating stuff. And like, the way a horse walks is absolutely paramount if you're going to be a good judge of a horse at the sales, but also in the parade ring. And I found that fascinating, I have to say, like, because, you know, Willie Mullins would never see things the same as me or you, JD, and he was trying to explain as best he could what exactly he was watching with Galopin with Elle Tétance. But also the way he spoke about Ballyburn was probably basically like almost like a flawless racehorse, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was a great day.
Paddy Brennan, one of your county men, retired this week, went out in a winner as well at Cheltenham, man of the people, 43 years of age, won the Gold Cup on Imperial Commander, had great days as well with Q Card. Paddy Brennan.
Yeah, like, I always felt if you're 40 as a National Hunt jockey, you're probably too old. Now, we have had examples in recent years of jockeys going into their 40s. Davy Russell, you know, obviously came back out of retirement, but Paddy Brennan to get to 43 is a hell of an achievement. Like, you've no idea how much hardship these jockeys have to go through in every regard. And, you know, we don't have that many jockeys from Galway, but Paddy certainly put us on the map, as did the great Graham Lee as well, who obviously has his own fight at this stage.
So the Scottish Grand National is our free-to-air preview race. It's a 3:35 on Saturday, over 4 miles, 26 runners going the soft, 27 fences to be jumped. Stayway Faye, Mr. Incredible, Elvis Mail, Beauport, On the Ropes, Spanish Harlem, Gold Cup, Bailey, Iron Bridge, Whistle in the Dark, Batty Griffin Cottage, McDermott, Tommy Bow, Broken Halo, Mr. Vango, Autonomous Cloud, Angler's Crag, In a Sheer, My Silver Lining, Gitmaker, Surrey Quest, Clark Kent, Wacker Clan, Egbert, Punitive, Secret Preve, and We'll Have One. Johnny Ward.
Do you have the winner, JD? Yeah, do you have the winner and all of them? I think we'll have to manage it. Right, so Mr. Incredible was sent off 10-1 in the Grand National and is rocking up 7 days later, quite unorthodox, and he hadn't run at all this season until returning in the Midlands National. Now, he's a horse that has a well-earned reputation for being a little bit tricky. He's owned by Justin Carty, Paul Byrne, and Patrick O'Brien. So the three lads have a leg and a third each, I'm presuming, and Mr. Incredible runs in Justin Carty colours here. Now you're getting sort of, just looking at the William Hill price here, JD, he is 11-1 best price to William Hill, even though he was 10-1 in the Grand National. So you're thinking that must be a bit strange. But the problem, I suppose the worry is that he did look like he was thinking about it a bit at the start, and he did unseat. But at the same time, 11-1, I'm happy enough to back that. But I'm also going to go with Willie's other horse. And I'll give you a little insight into this. When we were doing our little Racing TV interview with Willie, it was beside McDermott, got in a few selfies with McDermott. McDermott got a few selfies with me. And Willie Mullins basically sort of said, this could be the winner of the Scottish National on Saturday. And again, I'm paraphrasing, and there were a lot of sore heads around, but this is a horse who's very unexposed at the trip. He's by Sante Sampa from the family of Vosselet, so he's kind of has a staying pedigree. And I followed this horse a bit throughout the season because he made his chase debut in a race won by one Meeting of the Waters when he was originally put in favourite, but went off 9-1 and his stablemate was backed into even money in Cork back in November. But he has improved since then. He won very well the last time, beaten Better Times Ahead, rock solid form, and he's quite unexposed under the man to go to in many of these races, Danny Mullins.
Did he smile, McDermott, when he had the selfie with you?
He did. He was a nice horse, actually. And I tell you, JD, I've said this a million times. Like, we go on about gambling and, you know, the buzz of having a winner. The future of horse racing, this is literally the only thing you have to do to ensure the future of horse racing. Bring every school kid in the country to a racing yard. 50-100% of them will fall in love with racing. Simple as that.
That's a great line, Johnny, and a great thought there. Something we should definitely encourage and get more racing information to schools and get these kind of visits organised and get onto HRI and ask them what they're doing around it. I'm sure they are doing something about it. So you like,
you know, JD, just briefly, so yeah. I was in Jessica Harrington's afterwards on whatever day it was, Tuesday, and Jessie was like, she was so good with her time, but I was saying, like, you know, she'd come through her cancer battle, and I was like, horses must be really therapeutic, and you just want to wait to see the way she spoke about it. She was like, you've no idea. And that's for people recovering from illness, and they're just beautiful to be around.
Well said. So what are you going for? You going for this Mr. Incredible and McDermott?
Yeah, my two against the field, if I'm pushed to go with McDermott, who's obviously like 10-7 on soft ground, that's over 4 miles, is going to be a big, big benefit. And just a slight doubt with Mr. Incredible kind of jumping off, which still remains. I'm going to go with the mount of Danny, albeit Paul Townend isn't riding either. He is riding Spanish Harlem, who I wouldn't be mad about, to be honest.
Spanish Harlem needs to prove that he gets the trip. Stayway Faye is the top weight, and he was not right at Cheltenham. I think he had a dirty scope. Stayway Faye for Paul Nichols, who's trying to win this championship.
Runner.
Yeah, he is a fascinating runner because I Maximus showed you can carry a big weight to win one of these big races. He's the class horse of the race, Stayway Faye. Harry Cobden rides him, will be a price. The one I'm going to go for all the Irish rugby fans and all the people from Monaghan, Tommy Bow. Now, it's spelled differently, this horse, but number 12, Seamus Mullins trains, Micheál Nolan will ride. You can get this horse at 40-1 each way. He stood out for me because he'd been carrying all these big weights in all these long distance races around the likes of Sedgefield and all these kind of different nationals, Plumpton and Fontwell and Newton Abbott and Newcastle. He was third in the Eider last time, but he was carrying a massive weight. He's better off with Angler's Crag in the weights. He was carrying 11-10. He's only off 10-6. You won't know what has hit him when he has no weight to carry tomorrow in the Air Grand National. the Scottish Grand National. Tommy Bowe is a 40-1 chance. I like him each way, Johnny. There's also another one. If I was to give my other one against the field, My Silver Lining has been a beautiful mare to follow this season. She won the Classic Chase at Warwick. She's so game. She jumps, she travels, she stays. 10-3 with James Best on for Emma Lavelle. Could definitely see her finishing in the top 4-5. So My Silver Lining, next best to my pick, Tommy Bowe.
Yeah, keep an eye out for Inishira as well, for Lucinda Russell. She's obviously the local trainer in the race. This is a horse that will probably try and make the running. There will be a bit of pace competition up front, but stays well. And as I say, Lucinda's only runner in the Scottish Grand National. She was, should we say, slightly out of luck with Cora Grambler, but hopefully a bit more luck here.
So McMahon and Double J, minus Tommy Bowe at 40s each way. Is yours, Mr. Incredible?
It is, yeah. So it's not exactly a Double J, but we'll have to make it a forecast in this race.
Yeah, if a forecast comes in, we'll be all going to Dingle, all the followers, all the listeners, and yourself, myself, Johnny. So this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our analysis of the Scottish Champion Hurdle there and all the big races at the Curragh this weekend, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.